first reading was from the prophet Isaiah. And this section is referred to as the call vision of Isaiah to be a prophet. It's how Isaiah responded to the presence of God, to his sovereign will, his holy character, and his glorious works. Reading it, it kind of struck a chord in my memory of a commentary back in seminary days that just brought up the idea of the author was Rudolf Otto, and he had a book called The Idea of the Holy. For Otto gives a clue to Isaiah's response when he suggests that we are at best ambivalent in God's presence. Before the mysterium of God's holiness, we feel both a tremendum and a fascinans. We tremble with fear and awe, but at the same time, we are fascinated by God's holiness. This is attractive, it's desirable, it's promising, and it's compelling. For in God's presence, there's both an attraction and a repelling. Peter calls this reverential fear. For when we shut our eyes, cover our feet, and close our eyes before the sovereign holiness and glory of God, we tremble and we're in awe. And this today's verse ends with that classic call. For then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Powerful insight for each of us of how do we respond to this mysterium of God's call in your life? How do you tremble with fear and with awe, both at the same time, being fascinated by God's holiness, which is attractive, desirable, promising, compelling, and terrifying simultaneously? Kind of gives us a good segue as we move into understanding about Saint Benedict and how he heard God's call in his life and how he responded. For Benedict was born to a very distinguished family in Norcia, Umbria, about the year 480. His first studies were in Rome. However, due to the worldly and corrupt ways of Rome, it did not appeal to him. And about the year 500, he put on the hermit's habit and went to live in a hermit's cave in Subacchio for several years. But soon disciples started to come to him. Not long afterwards, he had built 12 monasteries, each holding 10 monks. Then it was about 525, they started to move south where they built a new monastery among the woods and groves. It was called Monte Cassino. Benedict wrote the Rule of Life for monks there. And it was there that he is said to have died on March 21st in 547. We celebrate his feast in July because March is usually in Lent, but it was on July 11th in around the 7th century that his relics were transferred to France. It is unfortunate that there was no biographies written about Benedict, this man who had the greatest influence on monasticism in the West. He is well recognized in the later dialogues of St. Gregory. And there you kind of get the myths, the legends, and the occasional truths. But according to St. Gregory, Benedict's motto was Ora et Labora, we pray and we work. For Benedict is noted as the father of Western monasticism, one of the co-patrons of Europe, along with Cyril Methodius, Catherine of Siena, Bridget of Sweden, and Edith Stein. He organized monks into these monastic communities, and he wrote that famous Rule of Life that prescribed a common sense, a way of living a moderate asceticism, not hermetism. It was based on prayer, study, and work, founded under a community life of one superior. It stressed obedience, stability of life, zeal, and had the divine office as the center of the monastic prayer. It was to affect the spiritual and monastic life in the West for centuries and still continues. In our opening prayer today, we hear it speaking of God's love above everything else, which echoes Benedict's rule in which he tells his monks to put nothing before the love of Christ. These are powerful insights for each of us to chew on. How do we respond like Isaiah and Benedict to the mysterium of God's call in your life? We have our five friars who are in that incredible mysterium that is, at least I remember on my ordination day, it was unbelievably exciting and terrifying simultaneously. Because you realize now the weight that you carry and how much people are expecting you to know and how little we actually do. And every day after that is trying to catch up to that. For there's a trembling, there's a fear, there's a fascination and a compelling in God's call in our life. How do you respond to that? For again, hear it in your life. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I.